I'm going to call to order regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, April 6, 2016. Would you all please stand and rise with us with the flag salute? Hands over your heart, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic over which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Chairman Schultz?
Here. Thank you, John. Does anyone want to address the board during public comment? Please come forward. Public comment? Public comment on any item that is not on the agenda. Okay? That is under, I believe, consent agenda for now. So there will be an opportunity.
Okay. I'm surprised that nobody else came up. Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. I believe that this will be John Clemens' last meeting as our interim administrator. And I think we all need to give him a big round of applause and many, many kudos and thank yous for the job he has done in filling in. I know it hasn't been easy. I cannot imagine having had to do that. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, Sharon. Was anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public comment, and we are now going to move into our consent agenda. There are four items on consent. Item 4A is review and approval of minutes of the meeting of March 16, 2016. 4B is review and approval of warrants, and 4C is ratification of district administrator's contract. Do any members of the board want to pull any item from consent?
I think item 4C deserves separate consideration, Mr. Chair, if we want to consider that maybe at the end of the agenda. And let's see. I think that's all, but I may have a comment on the other items.
Excuse me, Chairman. There were a couple of corrections
on
the warrant register and on item, I think it's 4C, the one.
Okay, why don't you give us the corrections on item, you said the warrant, 4B, right?
Yeah, 4B and 4C.
Well, 4C we're going to take as a separate item because that has now been pulled from consent.
Okay, there's just a little difference in the warrant register that was posted. We corrected Director Lucien Guerrero's amount. We'd given them each an amount for two meetings when it should be one each. So we corrected that. We've added, I know it's an action agenda item, but we've added the council's warrants in case the board approves them, and then we can move forward with them. And if not, they're here pending what happens during the action item for counselors Trujillo and Stockton. And then on the back, we've added the payroll for January and the most current payroll we've done. The reason the payrolls hadn't been done, because what we see on here is not payrolls, it's just a transfer amount to Rabobank. And in January, there was enough in the bank where we did not have to transfer from our county fund to Rabobank. because we had, remember last year we had stopped using Rabobank for, we had stopped using the debit card. So there was an extra amount in there because we haven't been using it. So instead of transferring the money, we used the money that was in the Rabobank account without transferring. And so that's why you didn't see an action in January, because there was no action taken with regard to transferring the money. And what we see on our warrant register is actual transfer from a county account to Rabobank.
Okay, very good. Let's see if there's any members of the community that would like to speak to either item 4A or 4B. We will take item 4C separately.
Good evening. Of course, I'm here to speak to the warrants. So when I came before you and said that the no 2016 payroll had shown up to know what was going on, you were all told that it had been available, and it wasn't. And then February showed up, but no January. So now January is here, but the first payroll in March isn't on any report. But the second payroll in March is on a report. So I totally understand the concept of transfers. But what if we just transferred all the money? Then do you get no report telling you how much is spent? That's not how it works. You need a report that tells you what is being spent. It doesn't have to be a warrant from the county necessarily on that sheet, but some information that is provided to you telling you in the month of March, we spent this amount in payroll in the month of February. You're not getting that. And when I come up here, you're being told that what I'm saying isn't the truth, but it is the truth because they're showing up now that we keep asking about them. So I really hope this new person who's coming on board will really look at the employees and their abilities or inabilities to do their jobs. But please keep asking for payroll to show up. Whether it transferred or it didn't transfer, it was paid. You need to know how much that was. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment.
I have to agree. Every meeting, we're here talking about something that isn't on here or something that needs to be corrected. This needs to stop. You know, somebody's getting paid to do this. They should be able to do it correctly at this point. You know, bottom line, do your job.
Is there anyone else?
Mark London. I have a question regarding a $5,000 retainer for the attorneys. Why are we doing retainers at this late date?
Anyone else?
Again, Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. I have some questions regarding Alicia Lara's charges. And I believe that one says, this is what I'm trying to read. anyway, it has to do with advertising and legal and recruitment plant supervisor. Was that to do the job description, to update the PPM?
Okay. Any other questions?
That's one.
Okay.
Also with her, let's see. Same thing with the recruitment of the district administrator. But then we have a couple other things. One is to a PPM update. Have you seen any updates for that you need approval? It's $350. No, it's $200. And then for district administration, is she paid when she comes to the meetings? And is this a regular thing?
Okay, we'll get answers to all the questions at the same time. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close this to the public. And John, do you or Gil care to respond to Ms. Brown's questions regarding Alicia Lara and maybe just provide some additional clarification on that?
Yes, I can. Ms. Laura, first of all, I looked at the bill today for the same reason. And most of these charges are January, February. She's just getting around to charging us. So there's nothing in March or April. So these are charges from a couple months ago. Yes, when she comes to meetings on the behalf where she needs to be here, she does get paid. She's not here most of the time, though. So it's when it's necessary for her to be here to convey something to the board, she does get paid. As far as plant supervisor, yes, we were working on a job description for the plant supervisor, a new job description, and that was what she was working on. Obviously, she worked with us and with Ms. Derby from our hiring firm on our district administrator recruitment. And we had been working on the personnel policy update. We kind of put that on the back burner until the new administrator gets here, because that would be more under his purview than mine at this point. So when we got close to having a new administrator, we kind of put that on the back burner. But we were working on that through January, and looking at her billing statement, it was January for that. So again, it's not anything we're doing currently or have done for the last month and a half. It's past stuff, and these are all things that she worked on behalf of the district.
Thank you, John. And I think the others were comments, and I will say that the retainer, I think Mr. London brought up, causes me some concern, so maybe there's something we can talk about here. Any comments from the board members or questions?
I have some comments on the consent items, and which might include retainer, if that's appropriate.
Yes, it is.
Okay. First on regarding the warrants, thank you for the corrections and clarifications on that. I am just for a matter of policy, I would like to see the Rabobank account, the payroll and the amounts there, because that's arguably a significant financial resource of the district that I think that the board should review, just in terms of clarity and transparency and providing information to the public. So I would like to start seeing those reported with the warrants, maybe as an adjunct to that. The I guess it relates to the warrants. We had the letter from FEMA related to overpayment to the district that was made and I'm unclear as to whether that overpayment went to Wallace Group or went to the district and where we are with that. I haven't really seen an accounting of that, or whether we plan to make a repayment of what was overpaid, whether the overpayment went to Wallace Group. That was regarding a letter from January 14th, which was actually sent to the Wallace Group offices, but it related to payments that were made on behalf of the district. So I'd like to know what the status of that is. And then with respect to the retainer, the $5,000 retainer, I would hope that we could stop that proceeding as soon as possible and not incur any more expenses, especially considering that the court found that SDRMA does not have to reimburse legal expenses.
Those are your comments. Any more comments? Or?
That's okay. Pretty much it.
John, are you aware of the letter from FEMA to John Wallace, and any you can provide clarification on that?
I've actually called and spoken to the FEMA folks. But before I try to clarify, I'd rather gather some more information, perhaps bring a staff report at the next meeting.
Okay, that work for you? Mm-hmm. Mary, you have anything?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. I've heard for the last 8 months of the audience, people from the community, ratepayers, request that we address the warrant issue, address the finances, print paycheck on it, see how we're working the benefits. And so instead of proposing a future meeting, I'd like it to be at the next meeting. When we print down future meetings, it means it gets put way off or it gets lost in the shuffle and repeatedly over and over again. And I actually have 5 months of warrants in my hand, and every single one is different. And every single one has included different things. And I, too, am so hopeful of the new general manager to be able to provide, you know, this administrative component, because this is what the ratepayers pay for, you know, that we are clean and articulate in tracking our finances. And when you have multiple consultants working on things like that, it is extremely hard to keep track of all those consultants and who's doing what. So I have an overall financial summary, if that helps people, that was given to us last month that I brought. I brought numerous other warrant packs. Some of them I can't quite understand. In the past, some people have, what they do is they keep a book of justifications, and it's just a small description. So when, say, Sharon comes up to the mic and says, I don't understand this $5,000, you know, you just turn to the cost center and tell it right what it is, instead of having to get back and forth. So I would ask that the financial intricate component of this organization be discussed and explained to everybody at the next meeting, so we do know what to expect and what not. And did the board ask for Alicia Laura, to do the job description? Are we consulting that work out? I'm sorry, I should ask that of staff.
Well, no, ask it through me, because I mean the answer is we did. It was a service she provided to assist us in preparing that.
So we have the job descriptions being consulted outside. Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. So what I will say is I was looking at how we do the reporting in the city of Grove Beach, and I think showing the payroll on here, I think this is an improvement from what we've had, and I think it's just a matter of getting into the right routine and showing the month and the amount of the payroll just for that information, because I don't anticipate that the payroll is going to vary greatly other than people working overtime in some instances, correct? So I think the way you've shown it here now is an improvement from what we've had before. It's just a matter of just more documentation.
The payroll is shown once a month. Again, in January, it wasn't shown simply because we didn't do a transfer. It's not shown on every warrant register. The transfers are done one time a month, and that's why it's shown once a month. It's not shown on this particular one because we didn't make the transfer. But the payroll, we only do it once a month because it's something with the county or whatever. But the point is, we do it once a month, and it's shown once a month, and there was one time it didn't show, and that was in January, and the reason was that we didn't do a transfer on payroll in January, but Rabobank was actually shown in January. So, I think that there's a lot of folks not understanding a lot of things here. So.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's just a matter of showing the payroll so people are aware of what that amount is, if it's monthly or if it's twice a month. Let's just make sure we list it so that the community knows what's being spent on payroll, whether it is a straight salary or whether there's overtime. I'm not saying you need to make the distinctions. We just need to have the information here in a place where it can be found easily. Okay. Yes. And then I would just say, before we move forward, I'd be comfortable if we decided not to. I think this $5,000 retainer really does cause me some concern, so I want to see where the rest of the board wants to go on this. But we are still discussing the consent agenda, and I believe this is items 4A and 4B. What's the pleasure of the board?
Mr. Chair, I would move approval of item 4A and 4B with the exception of the $5,000 retainer.
Okay. I'll second that. Any additional discussion? Okay. John, roll call, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes. And motion carries. So let's move on to item 4C. And this is a ratification of the district administrator's contract. Mr. Clemens, do you have anything you want to report on this? And then, Jim, we'll get to your questions.
Yes, sir. When I posted online, and when I did post it online, I didn't include the fifth page, which starts in Section 2. And then Section 2, Start in D, which is mutual commitments, which speaks of strategic workshops, annual performance evaluation, and it begins Section 3, which is termination of service. I provided that for the board members. There's some sheets over here with the corrected information. If necessary, I could read it. But that was not included in what was posted on our website, the one page.
Okay. Jim?
Just for clarification, I think there was actually two pages, page 5 and 7 of 8. I believe there's 8 total pages. And I think the page 5 and 7, just for clarity, was not there. And they're both the page that you provided as the... The additional page 5 also has the page 7 printed on the back, so it's double-sided. But that's actually page 7. That's an accurate description.
Excuse me, Chairman Schultz. Yeah. May I interject? Good evening. I understand this is on the agenda tonight, but I am going to recommend that we bring it back with a staff report and a resolution, and that one of the HR professionals presents the report with the discussion of the benefits and the salary. And I think that is important now because of the new PERS rules, so that when someone retires in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years and there's an audit, they go back and look for the resolutions approving the contract or approving any types of salary increases for retirement purposes. So it's a good practice. I haven't researched it and haven't been asked to research it, but I believe that's the best practice, and it's what other public entities frequently do.
Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No.
Mary?
So you're saying delay hiring the general manager?
No. We're going to recommend bringing back the contract with the staff report and the resolution. It also gives us the opportunity to clarify the missing pages or the in the contract. But I think tonight, if you want to go forward with the public comments, go forward with approving the contract, and just directing staff to bring it back for ratification with the formal documents in place, that is the recommendation from legal staff tonight.
Okay, very good. Anything else here?
No, that
answers. So let me see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item.
Okay. What pages were there? I did read. We're going to pay this gentleman $12,500 a month, $350 in car allowance, a 3-year contract we will be locked in with. We're going to pay district-related expenses, associate fees, benefit package, my favorite, holiday, management leave, sick days, vacation days, life insurance, 40 hours vacation write-off, 5 extra days because of his job demand, Plus, every year, he gets 15 days added annually. If I did the math right, at the end of this three-year contract, he will have 57 days of vacation. That's nice. I'm wondering, and he has to give a 30-day notice. Where or who did the negotiation on this contract? Because looking at this, this guy got everything there was to get. There doesn't seem to be any negotiation. I'm wondering also, does he know John Wallace? Then the other thing I want to show you guys, this is Monopoly money, okay? This is real money. This is what I pay this district and this person. There's a big difference between the two of them. Where's the probation period? Why do we not have a six-month probation period in case this person doesn't work out? You are covering, you're not covering yourselves on the front end. And let me tell you, being in Arroyo Grande, we've just gone through this with a city manager who didn't have a probation period. And things weren't going real smoothly. But guess what? We got stuck with her. You guys know it as well as I know it. You're not going to, once he gets through a probation period, if it goes into the contract, you're not going to get rid of him. You're going to let him ride out the whole 3 years at the expense of the district. Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano is going to pick it up. I want to see a probation period.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I would say that I very definitely agree with Patty on many of the things that she brought up. The probation period is a really good idea. I personally don't think a full-time person is necessary, and I put out for that. I'll put it out again. I am sure it's falling on deaf ears. I will still say that. This is a huge expense for us. It's a huge expense. And it doesn't just stop when this person is gone. It continues on and on and on. So I think that the probation period is really important. If this person isn't working out, we need to cut our losses and move on. So I'm just suggesting that you really rethink this contract, get more information, and negotiate more. I mean, I don't know. Have we hired this person? Have we offered them a contract? Would you please clarify? I was not aware, and I didn't stay for the closed session, so I'm not aware that we have hired someone, although it sounds strange to me that we've hired someone, but we haven't offered them a contract. So I would like some clarification, please.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come. Karen?
I was debating. Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. First of all, I can understand the 5 days administrative leave in lieu of overtime. I believe that's what it is. When he's required to work extra hours, he doesn't get to collect overtime. What if he works 50 hours a week? I mean, it can happen. When I was working, my job was supposed to be 8 hours a day. I worked 10 every day. And it just came with the territory. But I didn't get administrative leave for it. So that's that part. The other thing, pardon me, under commitments of the parties, employee commitments, I, number 6, the employee agrees to make sufficient time available to each member of the District Board of Directors each week to provide an opportunity to be briefed on district issues. Now, I'm not disagreeing with that concept, but I'm not sure about the logistics of that. Does that mean, as a group, you would be meeting with the administrator, or as individuals? Or, I just didn't understand. And it's a little unclear whether, I mean, I'm assuming that the administrator would be briefing the board, but would there be any interaction, or like a mini workshop even going on? So that was a concern of mine.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Good evening. My question is, if this is an employee with payroll taxes applying with a handbook or an employee like everybody else, why is there a contract? This is an at-will state. I don't understand that. So I'm not really sure who's advising who on how to do things. The last guy just chose when he wanted to pay himself or be paid as it hit the books. I remember that was an issue before. This guy's going to go through payroll. So why does he have a contract? This is an at-will state for employment. I'm confused.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Let me close this to the public. Legal counsel, can you address the issue of at-will? I mean, that because the at-will issue is what is the probationary period. When you're an at-will employee, you don't have it doesn't have to be 6 months. It could be 2 months or 3 months. But I want to let you give some legal advice on that.
Thank you, Chairman Schultz. I think an easy way to explain the concept of at-will is that you're always on probation through your entire career. So you can be terminated at any time for any reason or no reason at all. And you do not have property rights into your in your job as most other public employees do. So employees who choose to be at will are usually your higher executive employees, your higher paid employees, but they do not have property rights, so there's no due process rights. All the other employees that are on payroll, they have property rights to their job and cannot be dismissed arbitrarily. So does that explain?
Yeah, that's really good. And then I think want to clarify the issue of we would certainly hope a district administrator like a city manager would meet frequently with the bosses to give them updates. And it is not a discussion. It's not serial meetings. It's really an opportunity for him to basically give information to board members. And if there was any discussion that required a decision, it would be done in an open session like we're doing tonight. So that contract does not allow us to do anything that is not in compliance with the laws that are in place today.
And specifically the Brown Act, a majority of the board could not meet. So two members of the board could not meet with the administrator at one point to discuss district business. That would be a violation of the Brown Act. So the language in the contract that says available to each member means each separately.
There's on the page that I did not print for Ms. Brown's benefit, it speaks to strategic workshops, and it requires the employee to meet with the district board of directors as soon as possible to establish the district's existing strategic plan. So it's in the contract. I have to apologize. I didn't print that page. But it's in this contract to meet with the board and develop a strategic plan.
And that would be at a noticed meeting of the board,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Do you have any other comments, Jim? Mary? Okay. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Well, it's not unfortunate. I mean, the fact of the matter is this was put on consent when it should probably have had, as Gil is suggesting, a more thorough staff report, and just so that there was no confusion. And clearly from a lot of the questions we've got tonight, and so I think that's one of the reasons why legal counsel is suggesting that it come back to this board. Yes, the board did, in fact, through our consultants and have a negotiation. We had a full discussion of whether it'd be full or part-time, and I think many of you who are in the audience know that we had talked about that at previous meetings. The board felt that given the volume of the projects, the redundancy projects, looking into water reclamation and a whole host of other things, that there's a lot going on at this district and at this plant under the leadership of Mr. Clemens, and felt that bringing someone in to lead those efforts required a full-time employee. We also looked at salary and benefits and felt it is very comparable to similar organizations, and the vacation days, I don't believe the math is adding up, and I don't have the number. We'll get further clarification on that, because we are not giving someone 60 vacation days, you know, in a 2 or 3 year period. The other thing, we already talked about the issue of the at-will employee, and yes, there is a 6 month severance. I will tell you that there are other organizations that in which it is actually pretty standard to be 9 months of severance. So in order to try and recruit someone of a quality, professional quality, to do the right things for us, those were the negotiations, those were the comparisons, and I think, Sharon, you hit the nail on the head. An individual who comes in, who is a salaried employee, if he works over 40 hours a week, he does not get to bill this district anymore. That is his salary. When they come to meetings in the evening, and I've worked for numerous cities before being an elected official, and I was under salary and often worked more than the 40 hours and actually spent a lot of time at public meetings, like meetings tonight. So I think you will see when this person comes on board, they're going to be working more than 40 hours, and in that instance, they don't come back to us and ask for overtime. Now, hourly employees will do that. And if you want to compare that to, I imagine if you go look at some of the firefighters and police officers in the various jurisdictions, you'll see there's a lot of money spent in overtime hours. So in this particular case, we would not be looking at that. So I hope that at least clarifies some of the questions and some of the concerns, and lets you know what the board was thinking and moving in this direction. So did I miss anything, Mr. Clemens or Mr. Trujillo?
No, I believe you covered it very well. I, from my knowledge of the recruitment process, I believe that the HR professionals did surveys and provided information on what the average benefit package was, and I believe that this was within the range, and it was not considered a very high, it was considered an average benefit package, average salary for a level, for a district of this size. I wanted to point out that there will be a timing issue if you do continue it, because the new director is scheduled to begin on the 18th. So my recommendation, because of that timing issue, is it's on the agenda. You can't approve it as a minute order. You should go forward with that recommendation tonight, and then direct staff to bring it back with a resolution and a staff report prepared by the recruiter, one of the recruiters who can go into the benefit package and what they did to establish the average.
Okay, very good. So what does the board want to do with this item?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we approve the ratification of the administrator's contract as amended with the, not amended, but as completed, I guess, with the additional 2 pages that Mr. Clemens filled in from the copy that was missing in the original package, and direct staff to bring back at the next meeting the contract with a resolution to adopt it and the staff report, including the benefit package.
So I'll second that. John, roll call.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes. So that motion carries. Let's move on to the plant superintendent's report. Mr. Clemens, you have the floor.
Good evening once again, board. As we see in our operations data, our plant's performing well. Our biochemical oxygen demand effluent is at 20, where our limit is at 40, so we're at half our limit in that. Suspended solids permit limit is 40. We're at 30 on average. We're only at 5 for fecal coli, and our limit is 2,000. So, and it shows a 95% biochemical oxygen demand removal efficiency. So at this point in time, the plant's sailing through and meeting all our permit qualifications. As far as maintenance, replaced primary number one winnow sludge pump with a rebuilt pump. We replaced the 3 2-inch brass check valves at the reclaimed water station, installed new insulation at the water pipes on the chlorine tanks, cleared a clog in the number two digester supernate box, which we had to do again. We replaced a programmable logic controller at our HetWorks number one auger control, installed boiler water softener support for H&M building, and heating and mixing building for the, and we completed several work orders. As far as in progress, the number one thing again is the first on the list is the sewer bridge project. We just received an offer from an environmental group to do the mitigated net deck so that we can begin work on the progress. So we'll be bringing that contract proposal to the board at the next meeting. If it gets approved, then we can get on into our actual environmental permitting once and for all. We're also working on a grit removal system. The bid process has been completed. There's been a low bid. The low bid has been reviewed by our engineers. They are recommending that we accept a little bit. I wanted to make sure we get all our contract and all our information in place, and we'll be presenting that contract to the board at the very next meeting for our grit removal system. We're still working on a mechanical bar screen, getting close to being able to bid that out. With our secondary redundancy project, we did have a kickoff meeting. It was on Monday. Our project manager from Kenny Jinks, John Wyckoff, was there with Mike Dunley, myself, and a couple members from the staff. We reviewed the scope of work and the plan and what the engineers are permitted to do now. We clarified that task one is all that they're permitted to do, that the board is allowed. There's a slight issue with that. In task four, it covers the meetings, and that included the kickoff meeting and any meeting. So I thought the board's intent was that we don't get into spending money on design prematurely, but the necessary meetings, unless the board wants to tell me right now, we can still meet and as part of our planning process. And so it was kind of a technicality. They slid that into Section 4, and obviously you have to meet on a regular basis in any case to continue your process. So with that, we are expecting to hear back from the Coastal Commission on our Coastal Development Permit app on the 15th. Our representative has contacted the staff over there. It's been back and forth, and it looks like our staff, our chairman, our engineers will be able to meet with Coastal Commission staff during the week of the 18th to the 22nd to discuss the redundancy project and perhaps even see what the Coastal Commission might think about future reclamation, water reclamation at the plant site. So that's what we're talking and where we're at with the redundancy project. With regard to the satellite water resource recovery facilities, we should probably stop calling it satellite at this point. It becomes an off-site reclamation facility. We had the re-kickoff meeting for that, for the re-scoped plan. Dan Heimel was there, representative from AG that was there, Teresa McGlish. Of course, our staff and our engineer was there. And we just looked at where they should go. We once again start talking about recycle water opportunities off and on-site, because they're going to do on-site. We haven't talked about it much, but now that we're on our, seem to be on our way with redundancy, there's a lot of conversation. The staff, our staff, is investigating a number of reclamation opportunities on and off-site. There was an engineering report done that was completed in 2014 by Cannon Engineers on behalf of the county. And what they found was that the least expensive opportunity to reclaim water is at the Sand District where it is now. I think the number in that report was $1,300 per acre foot if we were permitted and could do it at the plant. So the least expensive and the most water in this region goes to the Sand District's wastewater plant. So if we can get permitted, it makes the most sense to do a reclamation project right there. And our staff is aggressively checking out opportunities. We're having certain agencies, we're checking to see what it would cost for certain agencies to study further. We're very serious, and we believe if we get permitted, that we'll be able to offer the most reclaimed water at the lowest price in the area easily. And so we need to work that out, because that would be in the best interest of the area, the district, and our member agencies. And so I added that to our this satellite thing, because we are still looking very intently at being able to reclaim water at the plant and being able to provide it to our member agencies and to the region. That Zone 3 report that was given to the Board of Supervisors is a little bit scary for our agencies, and we need to be able to put something in place to prepare for an extended drought. And again, our facility where it is now actually gives the best opportunity in this region and in this area, and so we're taking a good look at it. We're also still working with PG&E regarding possible energy conservation, specifically a cogeneration unit that would offset the process, the redundancy process. If we get it permitted and move forward, then that'll require us to use twice the energy that we use now. And if we can get a cogeneration unit or solar or whatever it takes to offset, or even to totally offset the rising costs, then that would obviously benefit the district and the ratepayers. And that they won't have to pay for, we won't have to continuously pay for that higher energy usage. We're still working on our emergency backup plan. We've ordered some of the piping and parts. We've been in contact with Gehring, Taylor, and Associates to kind of work with us on engineering on the water spray and how much water is required in particular areas to keep the trickling filter wet in the case of a failure of the rotating table. And we're working to restore GIS manhole mapping system. Also, we recently installed a sewer system overflow detection program. It was right there on the, when you turn on the lakeside and you go around the road, we installed, basically it's a simple float system, so that when the water in the pipe gets to a certain level, we'll get a signal at the plant. Before the water gets to a point where it's spilling in the streets, a long time before the water. So we've installed that early warning system in the pipe right there on, I believe it's Lakeside, and then we're going to install another one on the other side of the plant where the pipe's coming from Arroyo Grande. And that way we'll always know ahead of time. It uses a cellular signal, so it's a lot less expensive. There are systems that use a satellite, and it's like $900, $1,000 a year. And this one uses a cell signal, so it's only $200 a year for them to maintain a site that we can look at on a weekly basis and know that our water is not getting too high in our sewer line. So we've installed, a sewer system overflow system, early warning system. I think it puts us in a really good position in the event of heavy rain, that we'll know long before the water is getting to the top of the manholes. That's a really good system. We're really happy to have that one. Also, a miscellaneous staff attended in-house safety medium on sodium bisulfite safety. Myself and Operator Arias, two, should be a three. Are you a three yet? He sent out his three app months ago. It's like the third time. Every time we get a change, somehow they send their certification to Long Poke or something. I don't know what it is. Okay, so Operator Two, Arias, we went over and had a two-day training class on programmable logic controllers. A reason being we're adding to our SCADA system, and we're looking forward to some more systems upgrade for the redundancy. And obviously, if we can do our own programming of our control systems, then our district is a lot better off, because contractors, engineers, and technicians cost a lot of money. I think that our plan is simple enough that we should be able to handle that ourselves with a bit of training. So Operator Arias and I took the training. I think that it puts us in a lot better position to do our own work on our control systems. Also, Operator Mui, Fanny, and Mario De Leon, and Reggie Thompson, the trainee we have, attended a CWA Tri-County training seminar at the Carpinteria Wastewater Treatment Plant. They went on a tour. Carpinteria just did some massive upgrades. They were able to go over there and see some of the stuff they did and bring us back some good information, and in addition to the training that was provided at the seminar. And then I also attended a Central Coast Water Reuse Chapter meeting. We're not officially members because we haven't paid, but I go to the meetings anyway. It is an organization that's bent on, obviously, on water reuse. And the presentation was down in Ventura. Ventura just completed a recycled water study, and we were able to look at that, what they had done. They didn't. It's one of the options that we're looking at. Instead of going full-fledged recycle, they did a pilot plant, which probably produces, 100,000 gallons a day or something. And so it's not a huge amount of water, but it's enough. It was a pilot study so that they could prepare a very thorough environmental impact report and a permitting package when they want to go full scale. So, for our district, if we get to redundancy and it doesn't appear that we can go reclamation right away, perhaps we go pilot study, and then we can find out the particulars on a much smaller scale, but at the same time, we'd be able to provide recycled water to the community on a small basis. For instance, folks would come up and fill their 55-gallon rain barrels so they could water their lawns, and the folks who are doing construction can use it for keeping dust down and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of options out there. We're trying to go around to all the places that have recently implemented these things so that we can be able to meet those challenges and answer those questions and present a good good opportunity to the board. Okay, and so that's the end of my report. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions the board has.
Very good. Any questions of Mr. Clemens? Jim, any questions?
No.
Mary, any questions?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. On your RFP for the grit removal system, how many bidders did you have on that?
Nine.
And did you have an outside review panel, or did you just internally handle it?
I myself and the Nunley and Associates looked at it.
So Nunley's kind of doing some of the administrative parts of it, or is that part of the redundancy project?
That is not part of the redundancy project. That's a totally separate project. Yes, Nunley, it requires an engineer's attention, and so that's a portion that they take at and they look at and they help and consult like what they're paid to do.
Okay. And then I had a question for you. You had on the warrants for February, you had rain for rain and equipment rental for $8,195.
Yes.
Could you tell me what that was?
Yeah, that was our pipe failure, we realized that our emergency pump, our 10 million gallon pump, did not work. So we had to remove that pump, and in the absence of it, we still needed to be able to have backup, so we rented 2 5-million-gallon-a-day pumps from Rainford Rent, and we rented them through December, and so we finally got the bill sometime in January and paid it.
So, and since it was in the situation of a broken pump, you having these on site, if it was to flood, because it is a flood zone in the maps and everything, would you use that type of system for that? Would you use those type of pumps? Or I'm trying to get a cost sense of
if
Meadow Creek was to flood and it was to impact the plant, what kind of equipment and what expenses would be attached to that?
If Meadow Creek were to flood and it were to impact the plant, we have 4 pumps at our influence station. All of them have a capacity of 5 million gallons a day. If they were to flood, we'd just run all the pumps. I mean, if
so
we
you
had...
You didn't have to get any other equipment?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think we'd require any other equipment.
Okay, I mean, that's what I was trying to figure out. Thank you.
Yeah, let me say this, too. We have the 4 5-million-gallon pumps, and we have the 10 million gallon a day pump, so we have a lot of pumping power.
Well, and I'm aware of how many pumps you have on your site, and that's why I was a little, couldn't figure out why you had to lease another pump with having that kind of power on site already, but okay. You explained it, so.
Yeah, that pump's for if we have, like what happened is they had the interconnect fail last time, right. So you had no pumping power in the networks, and that's what the backup pump for in the event that our emergency backup doesn't work and all things go to hell, and we still have a standalone pump because that one's powered by diesel, so all we have to have is fuel. So if all our electricity goes out, we're still able to pump because we have a standalone diesel pump, and that's the purpose of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And John, just to add on to that, I know that you're talking about preparing a short-term emergency backup plan. I think we've talked about an emergency plan, so maybe if it's a written plan or something put together, come back and let's have a presentation on that so the community knows what we would do in certain situations, because I think a lot of what she's asking for, you know, should just be formalized.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just, you know, we think of it and I forget that we have to kind of explain. Okay, yes, sir.
Perfect. And then I thank you for bringing up the situation regarding water and a unique opportunity. This drought continues to put us in a very difficult situation, and we keep talking about all options need to be on the table. And, John, I know you alluded to the Zone 3 report, and it really, I think, was some of the cost that I think the county had discussed with respect to delivering the desal water from the power plant was, what, around $3,000 an acre foot, which is a pretty significant cost. I mean, I understand the water itself is reasonable cost, but it's really the upgrading of some of the infrastructure that they've talked about, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So if there is an opportunity, and I know that there have been folks who've come here, and I also originally was thinking, hey, well, we're a sole source entity, and this is what we deal with is, you know, wastewater. But given this this drought, and given the fact that we have communities that have a shortage of water, we really do need to take a look at other opportunities. And I know that, John, you brought up talking about some of the permitting, and if, in fact, it can be done on site or close by, then we can produce the most water at a very competitive or affordable price, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we'll have a discussion at this board on that, separate discussion to get more input on that, and certainly hoping that when I believe we're planning to go to visit the Coastal Commission later this month with respect to the redundancy project, that maybe we can have some of those conversations. I don't think it's too premature, especially when people keep talking about Lopez Lake has the potential to go dry in less than 3 years. So I think all options still remain on the table.
Yeah, if I can tag, we're sewer managed wastewater treatment, and so what comes to us is sewage, but what goes out the back of the plant is a resource.
Yeah,
it's a resource that we're sending to the ocean. So even though we don't, our job says wastewater, what we end up with is a resource, and hope we're planning and hoping that we can take that resource and make it a value to the community.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you, John. Do any members of the community want to address the superintendent's report?
You know, I'd just like to tag something onto that, if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. I didn't see anyone coming forward yet.
You know, you bring up an excellent point, and Director Hill had mentioned that we weren't in the water business, and but still we do have a resource, and we can't ignore that fact. And so I think as an organization, we have to decide, you know, yes, our primary goal is waste management, you know, wastewater, but we do have that resource, and to be consistent in what our messages are and what our scope of work is, I think is the foundation. So I really would like to maybe hash this out so everybody is clear on, you know, what our goal is, because wastewater, you know, by reclamation, it really is going to help our groundwater basin, you know, and Grover, you know, relies on the groundwater. Mm-hmm. Oceana relies, everybody relies, you know, so it is a valuable tool, but we have to be consistent in our message.
Okay. And for clarification, I was not referring to Board Member Hill. I was referring to folks in the community who had talked about that, but that's fine, Danny, because currently our core mission, our primary mission is, as you said, sewer and wastewater and the redundancy project, so we don't want to lose focus on that. That is the priority, correct? The other is really a matter of looking to see if there's an opportunity. So, Jim, anything you want to add on that?
No, I certainly agree with that, and the district, as Mr. Clemens points out, has a valuable resource at the end of the day, and the redundancy program only strengthens that, because in the event that recycled water was to be seriously considered by the member agencies and or the district, processing to that level is going to be necessary to enable further treatment as well as to meet discharge requirements going forward. So I think we're in a good position, and the discussion has started already with the jurisdictions in the area to discuss the potential for water recycling. I think this district may be able to play an important part in that. Probably a discussion we should have with this board about participating with the local jurisdictions and facilitating that, looking at it going forward.
You mean like a regional approach?
A regional approach, at least for the area, yes.
So I think there's already been some discussions about that, and I know there was a meeting with the three cities and the Oceano Community Services District, and I think we can play a key role, and I'm looking at this water resource recovery facilities study that we're doing. I think when that's ready, we can have a real robust discussion around that. So I think what you're suggesting is we are moving in that direction. Okay? Any members of the community like to address this item?
I just want to clarify things. I thought Meadow Creek ran into the lagoon, the Oceana Lagoon, and the Aurora Grande Creek was next to the sewer plant. Am I wrong? Okay, so it's not going to, if Meadow Creek floods, you're not in trouble.
Well,
am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, you are in trouble.
Is there anyone else? Okay, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Let's move on to Item 6A, this is the tax roll. So, Mr. Clemens, staff report, please.
Can I ask that the typo be corrected for the record?
Duly noted, Mr. Clemens.
Okay. What staff is recommending is that the Board of Directors consider postponing the district's plan to place all wastewater treatment service fees on the San Luis Obispo County tax roll. We're recommending postponing the placement of wastewater treatment fees for the city of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and on the Slo County tax roll for 2016-17. As a matter of background, our board at the meeting, October 21st meeting, authorized staff to begin the process of placing the district's wastewater treatment services fees on the county tax roll. We've had to delay that implementation because we had to wait to ensure to see what our fees would be, because of course we were facing a 218 hearing and a fee increase. And so now that that's over, we've had to review and relook. In the interim, we've had a lot of input from the community. I've spoken to leaders from the community and staff from the different agencies. I'm asking the board to review and look at this. Obviously, placing the water treatment services on the county tax roll will benefit the district by reducing the cost of billing customers and collecting payments. The expected annual costs, if and when the fees go totally to the tax roll, will be about $10,000 annually. Currently, the district budgets $66,000 annually for billing and collecting for wastewater treatment service fees. This would also eliminate the need for recurring negotiations and the potential for fee increases by billing agencies. However, staff does recognize that this action will require property owners and tenants to make some significant adjustments to how they do things. We also recognize that this action may cause a temporary inconvenience for the affected parties, which is kind of saying the same thing. Some of the relevant facts are, you know, with regard to Oceano, since they were unwilling to agree with the fair and equitable fee agreement that was voted on and approved by this board, and given the fact that they don't currently collect fees on behalf of this district, and this district has no other means to ensure timely collection of wastewater treatment fees. I'll explain that a little bit further. And so, in all those things considered, SSLOCSDs are, this district's only option is to place the collection of wastewater treatment fees for the Oceana customers on the tax roll. And when we write here that we have no other means to ensure timely collection of wastewater treatment fees, that point is that since we can't cut off treatment services, when we were with the different agencies and they would add it to the water bill and someone didn't pay their water bill or they didn't pay the sewer fee, then they would be cut off. That was an inducement to make sure they paid on a regular basis. As it stands, if we don't have an agency aiding us in billing in that way, then someone could not pay for a full year. And there's two ways that impact. Obviously, it affects our income. But with regard to a property owner could have a tenant that doesn't pay for a full year and then leaves, and that becomes on their on their taxes. So there's a lot of reasons we need to either go tax roll, and in this case, since this particular agency has decided they don't want to work with us with regard to billing, then we must go tax roll to be able to collect our fees. Another relevant fact, the city of Rio Grande and Grover did agree to the fee agreement that was approved by our board. And these cities have continued to provide billing services. In terms of district, and moving all three agencies into tax roll at once will present a serious fiscal challenge to the district staff, the challenge being the interruption of cash flow since the county only pays collective fees two or three times a year. Given that we have a decent amount of money in the bank, it won't cripple us, but it would certainly, to move all three agencies at one time would certainly cause, again, some serious challenges with us financially. It seems to staff that it would be better to phase it in. But again, that's what we're recommending. The movement to the tax rule will require some property owners to adjust their billing and payment methods. By postponing for a year, actually, and maybe even having workshops with the community, we can kind of help soften the blow or prepare residents and citizens for the changeover so that when it occurs, they're already prepared as opposed to having to make adjustments after the fact. Where the district is facing the possibility of paying a $1 million fine, and we're also looking at paying $1.5 million for project design. And the reason I mention that again is if we're, that's $2.5 million, $2.6 million to be exact. And so the idea of facing that and then also having to wait 6 months to receive our revenues, again, could present a challenge fiscally again. So postponing placement of Arroyo Grande on the tax roll will give staff time to implement a phased approach to placing Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach to placing service fees on the tax roll. If the board approves, staff would work with staff from the two cities to extend the current district approved agreements for one additional year. Right now, the agreements that we've set up are to the end of this fiscal year. Another thing is if we're going to do this, we need to let them know one way or another for sure so that they can prepare their fiscal plans and budgets. Also, in the interim, staff could observe slow county payment methods because one of our member agencies would already be on there, and procedures. It would kind of give us a feeler to see, how it comes, how often they actually do pay. We've heard a lot of different things. Sometimes we've heard 2 times a year, 3 times a year, December, and so this would give us an opportunity to see how it really works. This would also give the property owners and renters who we've heard a lot from in those cooperating communities time to make whatever adjustments, like I said before, ahead of time. With regard to fiscal considerations, the cost of placing Oceano customer fees on the tax roll exclusively for OCSD would be about $3,000. Again, it's $10,000 for all three. The cost of place, I have 15 on here, so 10, 15. Okay, 15 for all three when you consider all costs. It's $10,000 for the contractor, and then there's some miscellaneous costs involved. Under the current agreement, the cost to have the city of Arroyo Grande bill customers on the behalf of the sanitation district would be approximately $25,000. That is the current agreement we have in place, being a $15,000 base and 25 cents per customer. Same thing with Grover. Under that agreement, it would cost the sanitation district approximately $2,000 for them to bill on behalf. The reason I say approximate, because that depends on how many customers you're billing, but that puts us right in the close ballpark. Our options are to continue as planned and as currently planned with the migration of fees to the tax roll as previously approved. Number two, the board could choose to modify the existing plan and postpone the placement of the city of Arroyo Grande and the city of Grover Beach on the tax roll. Or, of course, the board could approve to modify the existing plan in some other way. That's it.
So, John, let me just be clear on your recommendation. So, staff is recommending that the Oceano customers be moved to the San Luis Obispo County tax roll, but to defer moving the customers that are in the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. Am I understanding that correctly?
That is correct.
Okay. And then you're saying basically both cities have agreed. I have signed the agreement, but it's only through the end of this fiscal year, which is, June 30th, 2016? Okay, and then I think you also, when you talked about under those agreements, Arroyo Grande, it would cost the district is $25,000, and then in Grover Beach, you said $2,000, but I think you probably meant $22,000.
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were clear on those. So do any members of the board have questions of staff on this item? Mary?
Well, I kind of wanted to hear what my other directors thought about this. What comes to my mind first is this is nothing new since the reports first started coming out back in May, June, July. I know that OCSD did incur a lot of legal expenses and created 2 complete contracts for the SAND district to assist in. And still to this day, we provide technical assistance daily to the sanitation district and without cost, of course, and helping them to rectify their billing problem. This is the part that... has actually given me heartburn is the inflammatory remarks that Oceano will not participate. We have done everything in our possible power to facilitate, help, and work with the sanitation district. The SAN district, we are one of the member agencies. And so it is a valuable project, and actually it's housed in Oceano, and it's a respected project in our community. And so staff had inflammatorily said that, how did you put it, that we refuse to work with you on a contract or something. This is the contract that that staff mentions, is that it would be an increase billing fees paid to Arroyo Grande from $12,033 to $24,000, which would be an increase of 106% in the new fiscal year. It would also be an increase in billing to Grover Beach from $20,000 to $22,000, which would be an 11% increase for Grover Beach. But for Oceano, it would be an 18% reduction, a decrease in fees. So my question, I guess, and with all this information that I have, and please, you know, if anybody wants any of back documents, I'm only happy to share them. And you can also go to SSLOCSD and get a lot of this information as well, is that, no, the people of Oceano are not going to take a decrease so our neighbors can have an increase. This is a project we all came together on and built. So who is it that can't get the job done? Is it staff that can't get the job done, that can't get the entities over to the tax rolls, or is it the consultants that can't get the job done? Because obviously this board, my fellow elected board members, you know, we were under the impression that we collaboratively would move forward in a fair and equitable fashion. And by separating up, it speaks entirely against collaboration. It's actually the opposite of collaboration. It's an old strategy used by unions. It's divide and conquer. You know, I mean, it's nothing new. So, no, Oceano ratepayers are not going to take a decrease where everybody else is increased. So, if you look, the board directed staff to go look at all the options that were available, whether it be billing firms or somebody going door to door, and still, out of all the options that were explored, OCSD offered the most services at the least amount. Door hangers, shut-off notices, you know, hookup fees. None of the other vendors could possibly have done that. So it gets a little tiring spending all our time dealing with Oceano. You know, we want to talk about moving these projects forward, and some of us are still very excited about it. But I think at this point, we want to know, why can't you get the job done?
I'd be more than happy to answer that. We can get the job done. It's not true that Oceano offered the most. I'm not going to get into that, but yeah. You did not offer the most. That's an untrue statement, just to clarify. The issue was that our board voted and approved an agreement that was partially based on the population. And because Oceano has a smaller population, that is why their amount increased, because to have a smaller population and to be charging twice as much as an entity that's twice as much, the population twice as much, did not seem equitable. So the agreement that was brought to the board and voted on and approved by the board said that they would base the billing on population. And because Oceano has such a small population, that is the way it fell. So there was no manipulation there. It was a simple population-based decision.
Why did only one move forward and not three?
Okay.
So hold on. your staff is recommending that tonight.
Yes.
No decision has been made. So that's the distinction. We're discussing, you're making a recommendation. This board has not decided whether to move forward with one and not the other two, or to move forward with all three. So that is what we're trying to discuss tonight.
Okay. And so then the only reason that Oceano is not included in discussion of postponing is because Oceano is not, we have no agreement with them. So there's no question about postponing. We can't postpone an agreement if we don't have an agreement. And that is the only reason Oceano is not included in this postponement discussion. If we had an agreement, then this recommendation would include Oceano. So that is the only reason Oceano is not completed, not included.
Thank you, John. Was those all your comments?
Yes.
Okay. Jim? Any questions, comments?
No, and the only question or comment that I have is that the reason for the staff recommendation of delaying the two cities is because of concerns with the large potential payments of the water board fine and the first phase of the redundancy project coming up, anticipated within the next year, one way or another. Is the cash flow issue that would result from that. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have over $6 million in the bank.
And I understand some of that's restricted in terms of how it can be used.
But we do have enough in accounts for anything that's going to come up in the next couple months. I mean, we knew all this in October. In all these reports, there's nothing that I didn't know, and I don't know about my fellow board members. I looked at the bottom line, I looked at the amount, I looked at last month's fiscal breakdown, and because I really was trying to justify that. It's not justifiable.
Let me see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item before the board. Don't all rush up at once.
Good evening. Karen White from Halcyon, Oceana Community Service District. As a person chosen by the voters to represent the community of Oceana, I sometimes find myself amazed and confused at the political twists and turns by the small minds and small towns of the South County. This is one of those times, and I just can't help thinking about what total unification would do to the area of Pismo through Oceano and Arroyo Grande. Then we'd have enough funds and enough enlightened leaders, enough truly professional staff. What are the staff, consultants, and leaders of South County Sanitation Plant trying to prove? Is it, let's punish Oceano for not going along with the prior billing plan? Or is it, let's use Oceano as a guinea pig as we try to put sewer charges on the tax bill? Or maybe it's just that the SAN staff and consultants really don't know what to do and will use bad old Oceano for the experimentation. That's how I feel today. I understand that billing Oceano residents for sewer services has unraveled since Oceano, to quote the staff report, was unwilling to agree to a fair and equitable fee agreement as voted on and approved by the board. Well, coming from Oceano, I don't think it was an unfair offer, and we waited 2 months to see a counteroffer that never came. And the whole dispute started because the SAN District failed to pay its fees for services delivered by OCSD. And if you check the records, you'll find out that SAN District actually never voted to reject our offer. They just didn't accept it. And we never got any response at all. And that's on your records and our records. That's from your minutes. Oceano will be the trial balloon because, as the SAN staff points out, I quote, this will eliminate the need for recurring negotiations and potential for fee increases by billing agencies. Yeah, I would like to know what the present billing fees are for Oceano. I would like to know how much money has been lost because there is no way to collect from Oceano, and Oceanos are smart enough to know that. I know that won't ever be in a staff report. For the record, I live in Halcyon and do not personally receive water or sewer service from the OCSD. Surprisingly, I do get notices from the Sand District, as do all my neighbors. I tell them it's just to throw them away, it does not involve us. And I wonder, does the Sand District actually know where their customers are even located sometimes? Your report clearly states staff recognizes this action on the tax roll will require property owners and tenants to make adjustments. This action may cause a temporary inconvenience. I believe it would involve at least a couple, $200-$300 more on the tax bill. From where I sit, that is not a temporary inconvenience. I don't know about others, but I already struggle to pay my property tax. I'm being honest about that one. The last one I paid with my Visa card. Who cares if an elderly Oceana couple gets stuck with double property tax bill when a bunch of months of sewers are added up? What about the month-to-month renter who will get hit to pay when the landlord finds the sewer charges on his tax bill? The staff report says moving all three agencies to the tax roll at once will present a serious fiscal challenge to the district staff. By just starting, picking on Oceana first, the report in front of you says the staff could observe San Luis County payment methods and procedures. This would all give property owners and renters in those cooperating communities, that's Rio Grande, time to make whatever adjustments necessary. So Oceana doesn't get time, but they do. So Arroyo Grande and Grover are cooperating communities. But you can beat Oceano around the ears because they don't cooperate. According to what I know, three entities work together, have built the sanitation plant, three partners. Let's just throw one under the bus. It's hard to believe anything else after reading your own staff reports. It's right there in black and white, and I'm shocked. I really am shocked about what I read. I really got angry, and I don't usually get that mad. I'm also shocked at what's not in the report. It's incomplete. Nothing is said about when these taxes might be put on the tax roll. Nothing is said who specifically is going to do it. There's consultants, there's staff. So this report doesn't really tell you what is supposed to happen. It just kind of badmouths Oceano. Regional collaboration has become a major goal in
Karen,
the South
I need
County.
You to wrap up.
I got two paragraphs. Regional collaboration has become a major goal in the South County on water conservation, reclamation, groundwater use, sediment planning, and other efforts. I thought that was the goal of the service district, here, the sewer district. I believe the report on your desk tonight takes away from the idea of collaboration. Its tone also could be labeled combative, destructive, prejudicial, bigoted, blatantly politics. You get it. So my message is, please consider carefully how you plan to treat Oceana residents. I would like to think you might be fair and equitable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would have to say that this really started when Paavo Ogren refused to pay a bill from the sanitation district with regard to Shannon Sweeney's work on the sewer system management plan. That's when it started. So, that was the beginning. The offer from the sanitation district for fair and equitable charges was $18,000, and Ms. Lucy was seated at the dais the night that that was presented, and she said, no, thank you. And unilaterally, without consulting her board, refused that to take it to them and asked them if they would take $18,000. That is absolutely true. And that $4,000 difference may have kept you in the game, but it was your decision, Ms. Lucy, that is what put you where you are now. I am confused by Ms. White's comments in that she suggests that she's telling people to throw the notices away. Sanitation District has the ability to lien these properties. I would not throw them away, and I would pay what is owed. Work with the board. Work with the staff. I've been called by Oceano residents saying, what do I do? I can't pay it all at once. Well, negotiate or pay what you can. But get caught up. And the reason that this fell behind was because of Oceano. I would like to see you go to the tax roll for all three communities. I think it is simpler, makes more sense, that $50,000 a year savings goes to whatever you want it to go to, redundancy, your new FFR, the things that this district needs to pay the fine, whatever that is, that $50,000 savings really is the ratepayers' money, all the ratepayers' money, and should be realized as soon as possible. Not every community has their sewer bill every 2 months. It's probably 50-50. Communities are on the tax roll. Communities are combined with water. So while it will be an adjustment, the amount of money is the same, but the savings is to the sanitation district, and that is who you serve right now. You serve the sanitation district right now, not your specific communities in this regard.
Anyone else?
Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. I'm in a real quandary here. What I'm hearing is either everybody goes on the tax rolls or everybody doesn't go on the tax rolls, but I haven't yet heard if Oceano would be willing to accept an agreement to do the billing, and at what rate. Then we would all be the same, one way or the other. But I am in a real quandary when it comes to this.
Can I just answer her real quick?
I wanted to hold on, because I want to see if there's anyone else that would like to speak first. We'll answer all the questions at the end.
I just wanted to say that having Oceano go on the tax rolls initially and then having the other two cities go on at a later date sounds fine to me. It sounds reasonable. I have no problem with that, especially considering the reasons for it. It seems like a good idea to see how it works out.
Thank you.
Well, Mary, as a citizen of Grover Beach, I feel that we're catering to you. We're changing everything to make it acceptable for Oceano. So, you know, I can have that feeling too. I would like to say, if you save $50,000, make it a savings to the ratepayer. Don't just put it back into your funds. Lower the ratepayer's fee. Make that the savings that you get. I think that way the ratepayers are going to be accepting this more, because when December comes around, and as the lady said, that's a real good Christmas present when the first tax bill comes. And Grover Beach just added their street programs to their tax bill. So this is another hit to the Grover Beach people. So if you could roll this back and save some money for the, you know, right off to the ratepayer itself, and not incorporate it into your own budget, I would think that would be more palatable.
Thank you, Ron. Is there anyone else?
I live on a fixed income, and let me tell you, come December, I try to pay my property tax all at once, so I don't have to remember on April 10th to pay it. And that's a chunk of change for me. And along with this, we're getting ready to hit another rate increase because of highways. You know, $15 an hour raise for people, and or the $15 minimum wage and everything else, you guys are just pushing people out of California. It's just getting absolutely ridiculous. But I agree with that last gentleman. Roll it back to the citizens. Like I said earlier, I forgot to bring my propaganda monopoly money. I don't get to pay my bills with monopoly money. I pay my bills with real money. And let me tell you, I don't get the raises and the benefits and everything the way staff does. And so think about us.
Was there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back. Mary, I think you... I don't want to get into a back and forth here, but if you wanted to clarify something that you heard.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that Oceano's not asking for anything special, right? We're asking to continue the same billing patterns that you had the 3 years before. If they were problematic the 3 years before, I'm sure somebody would have brought it up. You know, so all as we're saying is just do what you did for the 3 or 4 years before. That's all, you know. So, we're just asking for fair and equitable. That's fair and what's equitable. And this doesn't appear to be that. And if you'll look under the minutes from 11:18, you'll see that I voted against it.
Okay. John, do we know how many? So let me just make a few comments here. So, because I feel like this is, as Yogi Berra says, deja vu all over again. And quite honestly, I'm starting to lose my patience on this issue. And I do want to say thank you to staff, because they're merely bringing forward a suggestion or consideration. Now, could it have been worded differently if I had written the staff report? Probably yes. And so, but I'm not going to dwell on that. But I do know that the tone could have been a little different. But understand that is not reflective of where the board is. So the discussion up here tonight really is, because there was a board direction to move to the tax rolls, all three, in an equitable manner. And I'm going to give staff proper credit for thinking it through, saying they've received calls from folks who expressed some concerns, because I think if those who've been coming to these meetings know that I was adamantly against going to the tax rolls. And then as this has gone on and on, I've said, you know, if that's what it takes to be equitable and fair, let's do it. How many people have staff gotten calls and comments from with respect to, and I understand the concern about putting something else on the people's tax rolls, but the truth of the matter, I think Julie's right, if we can do this in a manner that saves the ratepayers money, I'm all for that. So do you have a number or a general
idea? I don't have a number. I know it involved conversations with staff from the other agencies. Again, like you said, it's just a suggestion to the board. If the board chooses to go tax roll, then we'll start on that tomorrow. But I just wanted to give the board an opportunity, given what we had heard, and I thought that maybe the mayors are from these communities heard them. So I just, again, it at the end of the day, the board makes a decision. Either we continue or we don't. I'll say with regard to OCSD, this staff suggestion doesn't change anything with OCSD. You're going to the tax roll. Anyway, you're on your way to the tax roll, so I don't know why this is so much of a problem.
So,
I do recall.
Hey, John. Well,
okay.
Just stick to the facts, okay?
Okay. So, yeah. So we received some calls. We talked to staff, and again, it was just an opportunity to give the board an opportunity to rethink had they heard from their own constituents.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's a laudable effort, and we appreciate you bringing it back. And it's. If the board says let's continue moving forward with going to the tax roll, then that's a decision we need to make up here. And Yeah, I will, let's be clear, we did have a discussion regarding the agreements. There was another number put on the table, and on a 2-1 vote, the board decided to move forward. The two cities have, in fact, as John reported, basically accepted the agreement, and I believe that Oceana, the OCSD, had not, because they felt they had made a fair offer, and I think, Mayor, you clearly articulated that to us previously. So I think tonight we just have to decide, are we just going to move forward to the tax rolls? And I don't know if there's any additional challenges because of, one, waiting to, we took action on the rates, and two, are we too far down the road have we missed our window of opportunity to just move everyone to the tax rolls this year?
No, we can get it done either way. Staff can get it done either way. So it's an open board.
Well, my only concern is staff's consideration of the cash flow issue. So we've already voted to move to the tax rolls. There would be significant savings to the ratepayers, as I think Mr. Arnoldson well articulated. It's an opportunity. We have raised the fees in anticipation of the redundancy project going forward. Ultimately, the bill for sanitation district services, whether it's paid bimonthly through billing of the member agencies or whether it's paid on the tax rolls, the amount's the same with one exception, and that is the fee for collection. So the fee for collection, by all accounts, would be significantly less if it was put on the tax roll. So it's an overall savings for the ratepayers on that if we move forward with that. So given that in the previous vote that the board has taken to move forward with the tax roll, I would support continuing with the path that we've already voted to move along, which is moving to the tax rolls. And again, my only concern with that would be staff has now brought up a potential cash flow issue. So if we can get past the cash flow hurdle, then I would support moving forward with the direction we've already embarked on. Otherwise, I would entertain the staff's recommendation.
Okay.
I too am exhausted from these types of discussions. We shouldn't be having these. And you know, the good thing is that many of us who've worked with good administrators know that this stuff will be eliminated when we do have an administrative oversight person. So whatever my fellow board members want to do, you know, I'm supportive of that because, you know, we were all elected by the people to bring their voices and concerns to the table, and I will align myself with the board on that. But I would ask that we continue these collaborations, and particularly this one, because it's somewhat symbolic. It's been there for so long. You know, we're kind of like a dysfunctional family in a way. You know, speaking to each other at Christmas time. But I would like to see us all move forward together, and if staff can't move us forward together, then as a board we need to help them to do that.
Okay, so we give them direction. Thank you for the recommendation. Okay, so let's wrap this up, and then my sense is that we've already given direction. I hope we can deal with the cash flow issue. That's something that's somewhat new, but let's just continue on a direction that we've set, and that's moving to the tax roll. All three. So you guys fine with that? Great. So then we're going to continue moving forward in the direction that was previously given. With that, let's take a 10-minute break.
Thank you.
We're going to reconvene the meeting, and we just concluded item 6A, and we are going to move to item 6B. What I'm going to suggest is, since I brought this forward, and I can see in the letterhead there was already a correction or a change to that, and so given the fact that we've got other things we need to get to, and it's 8:00 at this point, I'm going to continue this to a date uncertain, because I think we adopted bylaws that says if I can't make a meeting, then I can appoint who should run that meeting. So, okay? Perfect. No, I don't. Legal counsel?
Well, I've always taken the conservative approach that if people want to publicly comment, to allow them and right, eliminate the issue that way rather than...
So, hold on. So legally, I don't have to, but I think you're right. It's better to take testimony. So, committee showed up. Who would like to address, make comment on this item? I'm not new to this game. Sure.
Yes, he does have to take comment on the continuance. He does. It's been agendized. So, knowing where this was going to go, or maybe, well, I thought it was going to go, something was said by Ms. Lucy in the last item, and that she, knowing we who, I'm paraphrasing, we who work with good administrators... Does everyone remember that 10 minutes ago? I want to just say she was insinuating that Mr. Clemens is not a good administrator. And I want to say three things to that. Rafael Montemuro, Tom Geislin, and Lonnie Curtis. Okay? So, with regard to her perhaps... ever serving as chair or vice chair, should we ever get to this item. I don't believe Ms. Lucy has the interest in this district. I don't know what her interest is, but it isn't in this district. To my knowledge, and I have polled people who work at the district, at the sanitation plant, she has never toured the facility. She's been the representative from Oceano since December of 2014. So in that time, for sure, she has not toured the facility. And if you represent this district, I think it's absolutely necessary and should be a requirement that you tour the facility and you understand what you actually do there. So... those are my thoughts.
Anyone else? Really, to the item on the agenda would be fantastic.
I would like to thank you for letting the public speak on it. That was not going to go well for you, I don't think, had you not. You know, we do attend. We do like to speak on it, so thank you.
So the clarification would be if... the item was continued and there was no public comment when it came back, you would have an opportunity to speak. So, anyway, who's next? Would someone else like to come and speak? Thank you. Okay. We're going to close this item and we're continue to a date uncertain. Let's move to item 6C. I'm not quite sure what we need to do with this item, Mr. Clemens or Mr. Trujillo. I think we had already taken action on the warrants, so are you?
The board had pulled the warrants. We placed them back on, but during that the comment session for the board. The board had asked that we bring this back. I didn't know what to do with it either. Put it on the board, gave the background, and I'll leave the rest to the board. I know at least one of the board members wanted a chance to go over and discuss the bills, if I remember correctly.
And these were specifically focused toward Mr. Trujillo and Stockton, correct?
Yes.
I was one probably that asked for this item to be brought back, and I just wanted to make sure that we have a clear understanding of requirements for when we do legal work, that the board provides clear direction for legal work that's required. I believe the interest of the district is served if either the district administrator gives direction to legal counsel on general day-to-day issues, or the board acting as a whole gives direction to legal staff. Probably serves the interest of the district the best, and that's not to say that certainly questions from board members wouldn't be addressed with a phone call or something of that nature. So I just wanted to make sure that the communication is happening between the board and or the district's administrator and legal counsel in terms of authorizing work. And I had concerns with that for the prior billing. I have no concerns with the current billing or any of the billings prior to that.
Okay. Mary, you have something?
Just a quick question. Do you, Mr. Trujillo, do you see any kind of increases or decreases moving into the future as far as legal expenses go? I guess, do you see your scope of work changing as we grow up? Or?
Yes, we anticipate that as the district achieves these major capital improvement projects, gets over some of these one-time projects, the 218 rate increase. We have standard contracts now in place. I would anticipate that it would go down unless there is a new issue that pops up. Otherwise, we'd like to see the bills go down ourselves to a very reasonable amount.
So would it be fair to say that a lot of the hours are due to creating the contracts and putting those in place?
Working with the agendas and reviewing them with staff. Staff will ask us to prepare contracts or resolutions, and then we will populate that for them. But a lot of the one-time work was done in creating these templates, and I know that a lot of time Wendy Stockton spent on the bidding provisions for our contract, which was a major undertaking by her part.
Okay, thank you.
I'll add to that in that, for instance, since it's a matter of public record and it is on the warrant, Ms. Stockton had been at 7,000 the prior month, and then this billing period for this past month, it's down to 2,000. So that's a good example of what's going on. We were handling a lot of one-time stuff, and again, her bill was cut from 7,000 down to 2 in just a month's time.
Okay. Yeah, so just to amplify, John, I think you said this at the last meeting when this had come up, and I think everyone understands that there were one-time projects. I think there was some time spent on the Knutson report making sure that was looked at and the district was protected on both sides. Prop 218, I believe there was some assistance for the district administrator recruitment, which we will not be doing again. Hopefully, everything works out well. And then I know that Ms. Duncan had offered some record with templates regarding Public Record Act requests to make sure that we are getting people responses. And so we do anticipate the bills to go down. And I've had a conversation with Mr. Trujillo and expressed, I know that some of the folks in the community have talked about making sure they're not duplicating work efforts, and so to make sure that they are not doing that. So I think that's kind of, those are some of the concerns you brought up. So let me open this to the public as if there's anyone who would like to address this item before us.
Yeah, and the specific concern probably had to do with the Knudsen report and, you know, the limited redaction that was necessary for that, and we all agreed that there that the, those redactions were absolutely necessary, and then a personnel issue as well, and just to make sure again that legal work is authorized by the administrator and the board.
Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I just wanted to make a suggestion because I don't know the details of what these invoices were for, but when we do this, perhaps you break out the sort of the topic, yeah. So you have administration, personnel, litigation, and those are what those charges are for. I've seen legal bills where they're broken down that way, and so that way, if we can see it, you know, when we see a big fat total, it sounds terrible, but if you know it's for litigation, then you know it's terrible. But if it's getting through contracts, et cetera, then you can decipher it much easier without having to say, hey, pull this off and hold up the process for a couple of weeks. So.
Fair enough, block number.
Yeah.
Agreed. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, going to close this to the public, and I don't think we need to take any specific action. I think it was more establishing those expectations going forward. So, anyway, let's move on to miscellaneous items. Do we have any oral communications tonight, members of the board?
Yes, I have a couple. We mentioned the warrant register. I think the warrant register is generally okay. Bacon would like to see the Rabobank payments for payroll and other things that it might be used for, just for information of the board and the public. Again, a reminder on the FEMA issue, and hopefully we can bring that back at the next meeting when we find out what is the status of that. I would request, just for convenience, that on the agenda packages, that where there's a item that has an odd number of pages, that a blank be put in after the odd number of pages, so the items aren't run together. And occasionally, that makes those difficult to decipher. We did solve the issue, or get the status on the issue with the meeting with the Coastal Commission, and I look forward to your meeting the Coastal Commission, Mr. Chairman, and I wish you all success with that, and I'm anxiously looking forward for a positive result. I would also ask if you're able to contact either Senator Monning or Assemblyman Asajian, just to see how that would go. And again, look forward to your interface with them.
Thank you for making those comments, and I've already made those calls. So I will report back to the board after that meeting.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Staff, Mary, any oral communications?
No, I was just going to ask if the final commission, Coastal Commission application can be posted, or if there's a reason why we shouldn't have it public, or because I actually would like to see the complete application.
John? Well, the only reason I hesitated, I'm not hesitating, but all right, what my mind went to was that we filed it with the Coastal Commission, so it is should be public record, yeah. And you should be able to get it from their website. So that's what I'm
curious. Yeah, I actually recall sending it to the board members, so I don't know if I put a special flag on it or maybe it was something else. I thought I had sent it to the board members. So. I'll make sure I send it. I'll make sure we put it on the website. So,
thank you. That's all.
So if you put it on the website, just put a link to the Coastal Commission because they're the ones who are going to be reviewing this application.
Okay.
Okay? I'm trying not to make work if we don't need to. Okay. You have any oral communication?
No, absolutely.
Mr. Trujillo? Any written communications, John?
I'm sorry. I need to go back to oral communications. We did send out our bills to the community of Oceano. We received a lot of phone calls. Most of them are pretty good, actually. We received a number, probably at least a few hundred payments already in the mail. There's obviously confusion with names. We'll have to go out and send some of them back. Right now, if we were tabulating, we've probably spent probably $2,500 on this particular billing. And again, we've received a lot of phone calls. It hasn't been anything that our staff, as it stands, can't handle at this point. And so we'll keep the board abreast of what's going on with that. But we have started, we have sent out all the bills to.
Okay, John, I don't know if you have the information in front of you, but maybe you can give us, if you don't have it, maybe give it to the new district administrator. He can report out the date the payments were mailed out, the number of customers that it went to, and then I think the number of folks who have contacted us, just so we are aware how that's going.
But I know that we're fielding between 7 and 10 calls a day at the district, but the and I'm really happy people are asking, but a lot of people want to know if it's a real bill or if it's, you know, one of those fraud tricks. And at least people are asking. They're going to the right places and they're asking.
Okay.
So that's good, you know. But it hasn't been bad at all.
Yeah, communities responded really well. It's been okay.
Yeah.
Great. Any written communications? None? Not for me. Okay, so you have a oral report regarding teacher agendas, or this is your last meeting as the district administrator, so
yeah, I didn't want to do future agendas because we do have a new administrator coming on. He's due to start on the 18th, so I will be putting together this next board pack because, of course, it's due before he's due in, and then we'll start with Mr. Huebner, and I just want to thank the board for trusting me and giving me the opportunity to keep the district going. Again, my initial mission and reason for wanting to do it was that we would continue to move, and I started to make a list of everything we've done in the last 7 months. I ran out of line on one side of the paper. We've done a lot of things over this past 7 months, and again, that was, for me, that was the whole purpose of doing it, to make sure that we did not stand still and that we could continue to move and to see things in movement. And so I thank the board for the opportunity. I am really ecstatic at the prospect of not having to be here after next meeting. I've enjoyed it for the time that I'm here, but I'm, you know, it's just not. I'd rather be playing with the plant and dealing with those things.
Well, let me say, John, thank you for stepping up. I know it meant stepping out of your comfort zone, and I know many people, when you first suggested it, I was probably the hardest on you of all the board members, because I think I remember saying, do you really understand what you're getting yourself into? So, but we do want to say thank you for stepping in. I mean, we were in a situation where we needed to have someone to keep projects moving forward, and you've done that. And so thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah, I want to echo that and amplify it and just say thank you very much for stepping in and doing a great job. And you're not off the hook yet because we'll still have the plant superintendent's report. So
we'll expect a more robust report.
That's right. Thank you, John.
We appreciate the sanitation district. Thank you very much for your efforts.
Gil, can you cover, we'll have you announce the two closed session items, and then I'll see if there's any public comment on those items.
Thank you, Chairman Schulz. The district will hold two closed sessions under the existing litigation exception to the Brown Act. The first matter is the district versus the Special District Risk Management Authority, and the second matter is the district versus the State Water Resources Control Board. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any members of the community that would like to address the closed session items?
Mark London, I have a question. The insurance company has apparently declined to reimburse our fees. That litigation, is the insurance company come back at the district for reimbursement of their legal fees? Also, are we anticipating, if we do lose in the lawsuit against the fine, are we reserving funds to pay for, which could be as much as $1 million, the water board's legal fees? And are we going to be liable for that as well?
Anyone else?
Let's get out of the litigation business.
Anyone else? Okay. Let me close this to the public. And Mr. London asked a couple of questions. I know we have to be very careful about how we answer, but legal counsel, what can you provide, at least some clarification or?
Yes, I'll speak in general terms on in general, and in these matters, there's not a right to collect attorney's fees. So the prevailing party is allowed to collect their costs, which are typically much lower than the attorney's fees. So there is no risk of an attorney fee award in both of these matters.
Okay, very good. Thank you. With that, we are going to recess in the closed session. Thank you.